Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, check, check. One, two, one, two, three. Can you guys hear me? This is attempt number two at making this podcast work tonight. Tell me if you can hear me, if it sounds good, if it's choppy. If it's still going to be like that, then we are out of options. So y'all let me know if you can hear me and it sounds good. Okay, we're good? All right, good. Welcome in. Let's just pretend that that previous thing never happened. This is definitely the first attempt of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here on this Thursday night. You've got preseason football going on. Jackson Dart's debut will happen this weekend as well. So inching closer and closer, ever so closer to the start of college football season. Two more Saturdays is all you need to suffer without college football. That's it, guys. Just two more Saturdays, and tonight we're talking about just that. Lane Kiffin, the generally pretty, you know, if you listen to him in his press conferences closely, yeah, you can learn some things, but usually pretty monotone, usually not offering a whole lot. It's usually, yeah, you know, we like what he's doing there. And, it, you know, he doesn't offer you much. He's not very excitable. Today, a little bit of a different story. The audio I've got for you is from his most recent press conference where he was like almost overly positive. He very seemingly likes what his football team has provided for him so far in camp. And you can be the judge of that. I mean, I'll play the audio for you, but the entire thing was quite positive. He seems to very much like the way his football team is going about their business so far in training camp. So I've got a bunch of cuts for you. I'll play those for you. We'll talk about each one. There's some interesting things in here. I think this is worth listening to. So I've got that all for you tonight on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. While you're here, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear anyway. Also, right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff so you know when we go live, post new videos. I've got a couple coming for you soon anyway. Hopefully I have time tomorrow to get all that done, or possibly over the weekend as well. As part of our camp tour, got to talk with Keith Carter and Walker Jones in particular. I thought were the most interesting conversations that I was a part of, and I want to bring those to you guys. So I'll do that separately this weekend if I've got time to put all that together. So hopefully I do. Because it was pretty good conversations, and I hope you guys will enjoy them as well. But we're here to talk about what Lane had to say, and I'm here to tell you about Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, but they're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. And the car buying experience is one that all of us have to take on from time to time, and it's not always a fun thing. It's fun for some people, but not everybody. And Toyota of Brookhaven understands that it's a big purchase. It's a big deal. It is not you just walk in and buy a new t-shirt, right? It's a little bit more intense than that. And they will take care of you knowing what the car buying experience is actually like for most people. Tell them I sent you $1,000 off on me. $1,000 before anything else on me. Just tell them, literally just tell them that I sent you and they will take care of you there. Also great in-house financing, interest rates really low, especially on the new Tundra. Check them out. Toyota of Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. So I've got seven cuts for you from Lane Kiffin's press conference. I'm telling you, he was pretty good and upbeat and positive and seems to really love his football team. So let's start with him talking about returning starters and it being an issue with his team, but not really because of this new landscape. Interesting clip here. Here's Lane Kiffin on that.
Guys are doing really well. Excited about this team. There's a lot of new pieces, a lot of different things to look at, and schemes with different players. So obviously we lost a lot of players, but at the same time we added a lot. So kind of very different. I said the other day to our staff, you know, the days before we used to almost be able to figure out how good a team was based off the returning starters and you say, okay, these guys have a lot coming back. They're going to be good. These guys don't. Really is completely different because a lot of times you're getting starters from other teams in the portal. So I know on paper that wouldn't look very good with four returning starters, but doesn't feel like that at all out there. I think that we got a lot of good depth at spots and a lot of players challenging each other. And
all right, really interesting stuff centered around that. Think about it from this perspective, especially offensively, but if Dejon Stribling, Trey Wallace, Deuce Alexander, Logan Diggs, Taylor, all these guys, Luke has, if all these guys put up the numbers, the exact numbers that they did last year, what would people be talking about this Ole Miss team going into this season? So, of course, you know, they have to acclimate to Ole Miss. They have to do it here, all that good stuff, right? So it's not an exact science, but imagine if all of those guys that did it at the Power Four level a season ago just so happened to do it at the place they're currently at, the conversation around this Ole Miss team would be totally different. And it's already a pretty good conversation, but it would be totally different if they were returning players. So a lack of returning starters for this team is a problem, a quote-unquote problem, but it's not like they replaced all of the missing starters with guys that have not played very much. You're doing that in some spots on defense, but they're replacing Trey Harris with Dejon Stribling, who's done it at this level. That they're replacing Jordan Watkins or Juice Wells, whoever, with Trey Wallace. These are guys that have done it at this level. So if you look at it from that perspective, then it's a different outlook. It changes the way you talk about this team going from, well, look at what they have to replace. They have to replace so much, but look at what they replaced it with. It's not like this guy was a high-profile recruit that has improved it at this level. Stribling's proved at this level. Trey Wallace has proven at this level. Deuce Alexander, Traylon Ray, both of those guys are presumably going to be backups in this offense. They've done it at this level. Luke has, when he comes back healthy, he's done it at this level already. So it's different for sure. And same thing with the running back room as well. These guys have been around, even if they haven't been at Ole Miss. He was asked about backup quarterbacks, how they're coming along specifically. It's not Chambly. I'm so disappointed it's not Trinidad Chambly, but him and also Maddox as well. And here's what he had to say about that.
Lane, just how are you seeing Trinidad progress and even AJ now coming back after spring?
Yeah, I think both guys have done a really good job. It's a lot of offense on someone new like Trinidad. AJ's really progressed mentally while he was out. And both those guys are really good, which I think is very critical. Your depth in that room, even past three, you know, because that's we look to actually fix that and work on that this off season. So your drills are throwing better, your service teams are running better, even your one-on-ones and routes on air. So that's something that we tried to look at and try to improve from one to six.
If you guys have listened to me long enough, you know that I think that people talk about backup quarterbacks too often. I think coaches are asked about it too much, to be quite honest with you. I don't particularly care. And not for any bad reason. It's just we get the sentiment on the radio show all the time. People text in and say, well, who's going to be Austin Simmons' backup? Because if he gets hurt, we're screwed. And it's like, okay, how many programs in college football where you look at the starting quarterback and if he gets hurt, you think, actually, this team's not going to take a step back at all. Everything's going to be perfectly, totally fine if we lose our starting quarterback. There's a reason the guy's the starting quarterback, and there's rare exceptions to where you look at a team and think if they lose that guy at quarterback, they will not take a step backwards. I mean, it's almost non-existent. So that talking point, I think, is a little goofy because there's a reason one guy's starting and one guy's not. If the starter gets hurt, it's a problem for every team in America. Even if you have a great quality backup, it doesn't matter. It's still there's a reason that the guy's not starting. But I didn't think of it that way as well. One, the future itself can also be local. You saw it already. They replaced Art with a guy that they recruited out of high school, quote unquote, homegrown talent. But the lack of quality quarterbacks was a thing in the transfer portal this year. So they might, you know, spend more time focused on the development of whoever is going to be behind Austin Simmons and whoever could very well start for this team next year. Now, I wouldn't predict that. I think you're getting multiple years of Austin Simmons, but they still have to plan for the future as well, because the quality of quarterback in the transfer portal, especially now that the COVID year guys are gone, might continue to get worse. So focusing on the future is important, but I didn't think about it like this as well. The better depth you have at quarterback, as Kiffin said, the better work your team is getting, whether it's scout team looks, or just the better looks the rest of your football team is getting. So if you're really bad at QB 3 and 4, then it could ultimately serve as some kind of a problem for your team. It could make things worse ultimately. So interesting, interesting answer there for sure. All right, here was Lane Kiffin on the secondary.
And all those pieces, Antonio Kite, Ricky Fletcher's coming on. Does that look more like what you wanted to see? Where's that come along, that group specifically?
Yeah, that's been really big for us, obviously, to get that group better, but that makes us better on the other side. In spring, I felt that was an issue. There wasn't, you know, we weren't challenged a lot with secondary issues, and some guys were just hurt. So it's much better now, deeper, more competition, and it's in a really good spot.
So a pretty simple, generic answer there about that, but he did kind of slip something in there about the spring. As we talked about, they were all you had to do was listen to them as well. I mean, it was a very poorly kept secret. They were extremely discouraged about what they saw in the defensive secondary in spring. Injuries hurt that, but they did not like what they had at defensive back in particular in the spring. So they had to get active in the spring portal. They had to get healthy, maybe move some guys around. But we'll see if they have actually made that material improvement that the paper says that they should, on paper, that they should have made one. Lane Kiffin said that they did anyway. But, yeah, it goes to show you that in the spring they were deeply concerned about what they had at defensive back in particular, but in the secondary, and Kiffin's words right there just confirmed that. All right, he was asked twice about the wide receivers. Here's just one of those answers, but it should make you feel really good.
How do you get guys to buy into the room rather than be concerned with their own numbers? Does that happen when they're in the portal and you're talking to them, or does that happen when they get there? I guess, how does that kind of manifest itself?
Well, you know, a lot of guys are obviously motivated by the NFL and the draft. And so, you know, we talk to them a lot. It's, you know, you can have missed some starts, you know, or be a part-time starter. And, you know, they don't care when they go to draft you, you know. You know, look at where Jordan went, you know, after, you know, at one point not even starting early in the year. So what we just tell guys, hey, it's going to take care of itself. We play a lot of snaps. When the system is at its best, you do have receiver depth. This is, I think coaches say this stuff all the time. You know, I do think and have looked at every year we've been here, this is the deepest receiver group that would allow us, if we stay healthy, to truly rotate like you should in this system and be better in the fourth quarter of games. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say the first quarter of games was something like 31 points to 10, if I'm right. You know, and sometimes in the fourth quarter we were way ahead in a lot of the games, but that receiver depth allows you to play better in the fourth quarter.
So we've talked about the wide receivers really all offseason, because they have a position group right now that I think can be special. You look at the experience, you look at the talent, where these guys have come from, even the freshmen with their recruiting pedigree. on paper, it does look exactly as deep as Lane Kiffin is describing it. Use it, though. And maybe they haven't been able to. Maybe they simply have not been able to use much depth at wide receiver. There's a reason that they didn't play Aiden Williams very much. And it's not because they were trying to hide him from people. I saw some of that online. It's, well, they're not playing Aiden Williams because they don't want anybody else to know about him. No, that's not what they were doing. So maybe they finally now have usable depth that can actually play, but use it, because so far when they have, like, the wide receivers that they do start have all gotten the football. Like, their distribution among the starters and maybe one backup has been really good. But after that, they have not used depth very much. They have not rotated a whole lot. And maybe it's as simple as that they did not believe that they could. And with the aforementioned, that was certainly part of it. But you claim you have all this depth. You claim your system thrives when you have it. Use it, because you have not necessarily done that in the past. The fourth quarter thing kind of stood out to me. That was interesting, though. Wide receiver play, specifically late in the Florida game, for example, it was bad. They had a bad day at wide receiver against Florida. It wasn't all Jackson Dart melting down late in that game. They had plenty of opportunities to make plays at wide receiver late in the game. They couldn't do it. When Trey Harris got hurt as well, there was very little places that they could go. So that was an interesting comment there at the end about, you know, being better at that position in the fourth quarter and the lack of rotations. If you have all that depth now, use it. All right, the next one on the offensive line. He was asked how they're coming along. Here's what he said.
Coach, at this point, how are you evaluating your offensive line? I know there's a lot of new faces and new pieces in that room, and I think they're still trying to figure out their identity and their rhythm. Right now, how are you evaluating what your offensive line looks like for this year?
Yeah, guys are doing a good job. Kudus out allows other guys to perform in there, and so that's been good. We've moved some guys around to look at different rotations, different spots. So I think it's in a good place, but, you know, that group needs to play together, you know, more than other groups, and need scrimmages because the cohesiveness of the O-line.
So call me crazy. I might be reading too far into this. It sounds like there might be a little bit of frustration, though, in that answer. An otherwise really positive press conference. The quote about this unit needs to play together, they need some scrimmages, that struck me as they haven't, the guys that they want to start have not played enough together because of injury. And it sounded like there's a little teeny bit of frustration there with that fact. But you guys know me. I'm wait and see on the offensive line. That should be encouraging to hear. But until I see it, I'm not going to spend time hyping up a group that has underwhelmed 2 years in a row, to be quite honest with you. So it's encouraging. I sensed a little frustration with an injury situation. Maybe I'm overthinking that, but that's what I took away from that. All right, two more. He was asked about you'll hear the exchange, the defensive back safety transfer from Washington State. This is a funny exchange here between Lane and Neil McCready here.
Lane, just how are you seeing Trinidad progress and even AJ now coming back after spring?
Yeah, I think both guys have done a really good job. It's a lot of offense on someone new like Trinidad. AJ's really progressed mentally while he was out. And both those guys are really good, which I think.
Sorry, wrong one.
It looks like Gushikin's playing a big role for you guys. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. But what was it that you saw about him in the portal? Is it kind of a veteran presence back there?
Work on that. What was that pronunciation?
I'm not sure. I was hoping you would help me with it.
It was so bad, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, the transfer from Washington State.
Okay.
The DB.
Yes. He's really versatile, can play a bunch of spots. Really savvy player. You know, hoping he could be Trey Washington-ish for us, really smart. Really good to have him.
The funniest part about that, Lane never told him the right way to say it. I'm not totally convinced that Lane knows the right way to say it either. But Neil's out here trying his best to pronounce this guy's name, hasn't gotten clarification yet, is asking his head coach about him. His head coach is like, I don't know who you're talking about because you pronounce it so bad. He's like, can you help me? And then Lane never helps him. It's like Neil's trying to get this right, and Lane is just not having it. That exchange cracked me up. But, yeah, if he is a Trey Washington-type player, that's what they need him to be. They need whoever these guys are, whoever is going to play in the defensive secondary. They don't need him to be perfect, but if they have what they think is a guy that's as good as him out of the portal via Washington State, that's a good thing, because like we talk about all the time, there's doubt about this defensive backfield. There should be doubt about the secondary, and if that's what they found, then breaking news, Mort 11. That's a good thing. All right. Finally, he was asked about the Netflix documentary involving like behind the scenes during the season of SEC football teams and Ole Miss opting out of it. Here's what Lane had to say.
Really off topic, there's a lot of buzz around about the Netflix series with SEC teams. What led into your decision to opt out of that?
Yeah, I just teach their own. I've just never been a fan of those things when they come in, and over years of watching them, I just think it's really hard for coaches not to be phony in that, you know, when there's a camera in front of you and you know it's going to be on air, and then your players. And I think we're unique in how we are, and that's a big part of what we tell the guys. What you see is what you get here. You know, in recruiting, we don't recruit one way and then coach a different way. And I just never wanted the cameras in there, and all of a sudden this position coach, you know, thinks, oh, here's my shot for every AD to see me, what a great coach I am, and they start talking different than they normally do in coaching. So I've just always been against it. I know it makes a little money and, you know, fills people's ego to be on TV and stuff, but I just look at it from a team perspective. I don't think it's good, but
That last part about not wanting your assistants to put on a show for the camera was interesting. But more importantly, I don't know if you guys saw it or if you guys have watched it at all. It's good. It's enjoyable. I don't think I'm going to obsess over it like some people will, and that's okay, you know, to each their own. But there's that exchange. When he was talking about, you know, it being fake or inauthentic, putting on a show, whatever, there's a clip floating around of Brian Kelly talking to his agent, who also happens to be his quarterback's agent. And a lot of people were sharing that clip and like, oh, look at how weird this is. What a weird exchange, whatever, whatever. It could not have been more fake. And I'm not like, I'm kind of cynical by nature when it comes to stuff like this, but I don't think I was being cynical. When I saw that, I thought, this is garbage. This is fake. They're putting on a performance. This is not how they talk about this. Brian Kelly is not talking to his agent this way about his quarterback and trying to figure out how to get him back for the right amount of money. It does not sound like this. They are talking like this for the cameras. It's inauthentic. It's fake. It's garbage. And so maybe that's what Kiffin saw too, because you know he's on Twitter. You know he sees what's viral on Twitter. Maybe he saw that as well. But that clip of Brian Kelly talking, I thought, this is a joke. I'm not – like that does not grab me at all, because it is clearly absolutely fake. And I'm totally fine with them opting out now that I've seen how they've put this on. Because if they're going to BS us through it, then I don't really care to see that. But anyway, it's been fine. If you guys want to watch it, go for it. But you can tell there's a lot of inauthenticity, if that's a word, with that Netflix thing. So anyway, podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines, cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is. If it is office technology in Mississippi, you guys need it, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. They'll give you that assessment absolutely free on me. Also, Priority One Bank is a presenting sponsor of the podcast. They will make you their priority just like they do me every single day. They have local loan servicing and decision making. They have 16 locations in Mississippi. They have a great online banking platform. Check them out, Priority One Bank, because they will make you their priority. What's up, Austin? Glad to see you. Tyler Banks' interview after winning the Chucky Mullins Award is awesome. Dude gets it. That is probably my favorite thing that they do, and also something that I think is the most important. And I hope that they continue to build on the tradition of the Chucky Mullins Award. I know they've already got the bust on the field and the jersey number. There's a thing that they have at Ohio State called the Buckeye Grove, and they plant a Buckeye tree for every All-American that they have right outside of the stadium. And so you can walk down this path with all these Buckeye trees, and you can see the plaque for every, I think it's consensus All-American that they've had, and they've had a lot of them. But I would like for them to take this even a step further and do something like that. The story of Chucky Mullins is so incredibly inspiring. It's tragic and sad, but it's beautiful and inspiring. And that jersey number, I just hope that it maintains its level of gravity that it's had for so long, because traditions can die pretty quickly. And you don't want that to happen here. You want the number 38 to mean something. I mean, sometimes you see people walking around with 38 buttons. I think that should be something that you see more of. I mean, hell, you have those hats that some people wear. I mean, it's just like this, but it has the number 3 with the state of Mississippi to indicate the number of national championships. I would put 38 on stuff. I think that story and his legacy needs to be built upon. And so seeing a player like KD Hill's call to his mom was another good one that really stood out to me. But this one, a guy that has really waited his turn, has not played much. I promise you expected to play more, but has waited his turn, and Kiffin had good things to say in that video, but clearly understood the gravity that comes with wearing that jersey number. And I hope that continues to be magnified and people continue to honor that number, because that is, it's too good of a story. It's too inspiring of a story to let it fade as the years go by. So it was good to see a player really like that. I do not know, Edward, if Tyler Banks was the one that had the recruiting drama where State was involved. I don't remember, honestly. When am I giving my personal predictions for the season? Before week zero. But before week zero will be it. So in 2 weeks. If I told you Tulane makes the playoff this year, would you be shocked? I would not at all. I would not at all. Skipped over J.J. Pegues. Yeah, exactly right. Another guy that got it, that understood what came with that for sure. Also, looks like Judkins' situation is getting worse. Case getting delayed into 2026, and he probably won't even play this year and can't sign either. Man, that's a bad look there. It most certainly is. I did see some Cleveland media people say, well, you know, before his legal situation plays out, he could play. And I do not think that the NFL will allow somebody with an unresolved domestic violence complaint against him to play. They have possibly mishandled that in the past. That they're not going to do that anymore. And I mean, what else can you say besides we'll see how that goes and how that turns out. But yeah, it looks ugly. And especially if you're Cleveland, already having Deshaun Watson on your team, can you really be the franchise that has Deshaun Watson and also pays a guy with an unresolved domestic violence legal situation on his hands? I don't think so. You have to leave him unsigned until this gets resolved, however long this takes. Or at least I think you should. but we'll see if they actually do. Feels like football's in the air. This past weekend it did. Neil McCready wrote an excellent column on what Lane said, not surprised by that at all. Was able to tune into the radio show for the interviews. Keith's response about staying at Ole Miss long-term was interesting. It was. It actually was. It was not a, hell yeah, I'm here until I die. It was never say never, but I won't look around until I feel like we've accomplished everything we can, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. You guys get to hear it yourself. But anyway, it's just words, obviously, but Lane doesn't tend to BS or coach speak much. Makes me personally look more forward to the start of the season. I'm itching to see them in Lexington on September 6th. Yes, that is, you should never read too much into press conferences, obviously, because it's a controlled message. But you don't get that level of optimism from him basically ever. Wouldn't surprise you if the running game takes a giant step. There is a path for the running back room to be better, yes. Glass half full moment for Kiff, something like that. Yeah, I agree with you about the Netflix thing. A lot of it appears to be quite fake. Don't love that. I think they've used the portal for long enough now that we have a proven formula for getting transfers integrated into the system quicker than most programs. That is one of the best things about their portal strategy. It's not just that they use the portal. It's their hit rate has been very, very high. Their evaluations of portal guys has been pretty outstanding. Because it's not just the Walter Nolans that are working out for them. They're really getting a lot out of everybody that they get out of the portal, with the exception of the offensive line, really. Austin with the super chat. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you for the support, man. Thank you. With ESPN becoming this conglomerate that it is becoming, could you see SEC renegotiating for more? Maybe have a game stream on Disney Plus. I do think that the SEC will get more money when they go to 9 conference games. I do think that is coming. So that won't change the contract length. The SEC is now officially getting underpaid relative to their value. If you look at other TV contracts now and what the ESPN has done with the NFL and things like that, that annual number will increase with the added conference game. That was a deal that was signed 2 years too soon. High school class has also gotten better each year, especially on defense. If college football gets a red zone program, but the networks don't play ball, then it's not going to work. Too many bad games. Yeah, it would be a little bit tougher. Although, remember, ESPN and ABC have a metric ton of games. Most of the big games are aired by ABC or ESPN. So even if they don't get all of the networks to play ball, they offer enough to make it interesting. I mean, you've got two or three SEC games going on at a time in every window. So even that alone is fine. And I mean, they're obviously partnered with the ACC. So there's enough on ESPN's properties to make it worth it, I think, as long as they focus on the big games and the big brands. Even if they can't get the other networks to play ball, it would be a mistake for the other networks to not get in on this, in my opinion. The NFL does it. It clearly works. It's a great business model. It would work for college as well. It would absolutely work for college. They tried it with goal line, but the problem with goal line was they would go to any game, and we're talking like they would go to Middle Tennessee, and like it didn't work. They need to focus on the big ones. The whole crown thing is ridiculous. Yeah, there's nothing. Maybe I can turn it off. I haven't figured out how to turn that off yet. If I had to place a futures bet on a G5 team to make the playoff, who would you take? Boise State, Memphis, Tulane, Someone in the Sun Belt, Liberty, because they play a bunch of high school teams? That's a good question. Tulane, I think, is who I would bet on. Don't sleep on UNLV either with Dan Mullen. So last year, even with its talented roster, was quite thin or bad in multiple offensive positions. Still coaching and play calling cost them in spots. Running back, offensive line, wide receiver all had major issues. Yeah. You say Lane Kiffin finally looks like him in terms of happiness? Getting his family back, I mean, I only have one. He's got three. But if I was detached from my child for an extended period of time, I would be depressed. And then getting him back would change everything for me. If Southern Miss makes the playoffs, they won't this year. They will not this year. But I wouldn't count Charles Huff out moving forward. I agree with this. The 23 offensive personnel was better. Yeah. Asked Tyler Siski an O-line question this afternoon. He sounded pessimistic for improvement based on personnel. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to be down on them either. We'll see is the worst thing that you can say in this business. You've got to have an opinion one way or the other. But I'm going to take the middle and just say, we'll see. I'm not going to think that they're good, and I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be bad. I'm just going to wait and see. Don't know how the offensive line could be much worse. Last year was pretty abysmal. They could stay healthy too. That would help. Might be reading way too far into this, but you like how Lane looks relaxed. Think he got uptight at times last year and play calling reflected it. His mindset seems different. I think there's no doubt that they got that there was some tension last season. His body language last year, specifically close games in Baton Rouge, was bad. Yeah, missed Trey Amos. He will be missed greatly. Haven't talked about it in a while, but Chris Paul Jr. should be the starting linebacker for this team. He had an offer on the table. CP3 should be the starting linebacker. Yeah, that Chris Paul's a little bit old for college basketball, but yeah. Brian Kelly's the definition of inauthentic, no kidding. If I were an LSU fan, I would not like him. I don't think he's going to be the head coach there in a few years. This is kind of a win or else year for him. I don't think he's getting fired, but if this team can't make the playoff, then I'm not sure if he's going to, or at least be a competitor for the SEC for a national championship, right? I mean, it's a 12-team playoff now. That's what we're talking about with LSU. I mean, there were people at media days that cover the team that was like, maybe they can go 10-2. It's like, do you guys understand the program that you think that you are? How long has he been there now? And you're talking about, hopefully he can make the playoff. Is that where the standards have fallen at that place? It shouldn't be. Bet as soon as Netflix approached teams about being in it, Hugh Freeze was chomping at the bit. Any chance you can get to cry on camera? I will do predictions for the SEC this year. Yes, I will. All of it. It'll be all in the same night. I'll do my game-by-game predictions for Ole Miss and all that good stuff. So, 38 should always be worn as a jersey. No patch. I agree. Unfortunately, the land shark tradition has fallen by the wayside. And that's one that I'm sad to see go, too. I mean, maybe the mascot was lame. The logos that they made kind of stunk. But the Tony Fine land shark thing was cool. It was a good story. I'm cool with when they play Vanderbilt at home. They theme the games after Chucky, wear the powder navy gray, make the field honor him, and maybe get Vandy in on it too. I would do something like that every year. I would really make 38 a point of – it is a point of pride for the program. I would make it a bigger one. Austin, thanks for gassing me up. You say, I know it's silly, but thank you for coming on here and talking with us late on a work night to talk Ole Miss, especially as a dad. Got to give you a shout out. You rock, man. Well, thanks. Thanks, man. I'm testing myself this football season with these high school games on Friday night. Now I'm really testing my ability to compartmentalize and prioritize things, if that makes sense. I'm testing myself for sure. I hope it's not going to be too much. Planning on going to either the South Carolina or Florida game or both. What are the best hotels to stay at? Oh, good luck. No, Oxford is going to probably be crazy, but any outskirt towns or anything, you should check. Any hotel in town, if you can find a room that you can afford, if it has an Oxford address, that's better than most people can do. Check Airbnb as well. There are times where, depending on like the size of your group, if it's just you or a couple of you, renting a room on Airbnb is not the worst idea. After that, I mean, I guess you would have to look Batesville, depending on where you're coming from. Where are you coming from? That would help a lot, but it's tough. Going to games in Oxford now and getting to experience all of it is very tough financially. So depending on where you're coming from, Tupelo, Grenada, Batesville, maybe Memphis if you're truly out of town. Of the games on the schedule, which three do I think are the most critical for Ole Miss to win, more than just surface level reasons, program games? LSU, Mississippi State again. I know that I know they're not good, whatever, but if you can win, what would that be? That would be 5 of 6 Egg Bowls. If State goes into that game with the record that you think that they have, I mean, you could really start talking about burying your in-state rival. So that game will carry a lot of weight if you can do that. What would the third be? It's not Georgia. Georgia would be a free shot. The third would be either South Carolina or Florida. Because you could say Kentucky, but beating Kentucky is not going to get you anything other than a deep breath after what happened last year. Anthony Richardson got rocked tonight and left with an injured pinky. That guy can't stay healthy, and his successor at Florida right now is suffering the same thing. No kidding. Do you see these NIL payments? These quarterback transfers are getting Mateers between $2.5 and $3 million. Castellanos, $800K. Arnold got a boatload. Hey, but there's a ton of value in quarterbacks at the SEC level, you know? Yeah, Benny brings up the recruiting for State. See, that's kind of what I'm talking about, is if you can continue to punch down with your in-state rival, that can really help. The LSU was closer to 6-6 than 10-2 last year. No kidding. Doing high school games, must have missed that. Yes, thank you. Hartfield Academy on the radio here on just the Super Talk Jackson station. So it's not statewide. Each one of our stations gets to air their a local high school team. You guys see that lizard on the window back there? See that? It's a gecko climbing on my window right now. That's kind of funny. But yes, I'll be doing Hartfield games on the radio on Friday night. So we'll see how it goes. Are you a bad person if you're rooting for Clemson to beat LSU so you can laugh at Brian Kelly? No, you're not a bad person. You're a normal person. You want LSU undefeated by the time Ole Miss plays them? That game's going to be massive regardless. Insurance quotes coming to you live while you're on the live. Yeah, man. I've got house geckos all over here. I don't mind them, though. They just eat bugs by the windows. Sometimes when you open a door, they'll slip in, but only sometimes. So I don't really try to get rid of them. There's worse pests to have around the outside of your home than a harmless lizard. So more high school games should be on regular cable. I mean, there's a lot of open inventory that local TV stations could pick up. I mean, I don't know what they air on Friday nights. Maybe they have some big network programming that makes a lot of money, but I doubt it. Local TV stations aired high school football in my hometown 15 years ago. So maybe they don't have the infrastructure in place to do it. You live in Florida. Okay, so you live in Florida, making the trip to Oxford. Tupelo might be cost effective and best for you since you're heading back that way, depending on where in Florida you live. Good luck, man. I hope you have a good time. It's tough, though. It's really tough. If you could give me one non-LSU score, I think I want South Carolina or Oklahoma. One non-LSU score. I want Florida. I think I want Florida. It's a good question, though. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm hoping I find the time to upload those two, or at least clips from those two interviews with Keith and Walker by the time we get here on Sunday. But I will bring some of them to you regardless, because it was good stuff. In the meantime, you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your preseason football, and I'll talk to you guys on Sunday for sure, but hopefully between now and then. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.